His political career is marked by two clear chapters, the rise and the fall. Despite being born to a father who worked as a farmer and tavern keeper, Van Buren became exposed to the world of law and politics at a very early age. His father's tavern was a hotspot for political discussion and debate, attracting prominent figures such as Alexander Hamilton, one of the Union's founding fathers, and Aaron Burr, the third American vice president who famously killed Hamilton in a duel in 1804. Given his relative poverty, Van Buren did not attend college. He opted instead to become a legal apprentice when he was only 14 years old. A year later, he won his very first court case. His career as a New York lawyer served him well for an early start in politics. He served two terms in the New York State Senate, 1812 to 1820, and was elected as the state attorney general from 1815 to 1819. After mastering political control of the most populous state in the Union, he took to the grander stage of national politics when he was elected to the U.S. Senate in 1821. There, he became the leading figure of the Albany Regency, one of America's first political machines. This efficient state political organization helped him secure votes, make deals, generate strategic publicity, and exert a powerful influence over New York and national politics. After Van Buren secured the trust of Andrew Jackson, another lawyer turned politician who became the first leader of the Democratic Party, his ascent to the White House was sealed. When Jackson became the seventh president of the United States in 1829, he ran with Van Buren as his nominee for vice president. Van Buren was appointed Secretary of State. Jackson and Van Buren's alliance remained strong throughout his 4 years in office, ensuring that he was handpicked by Jackson as his successor during the 1836 presidential elections. Once he had assumed the highest political position in the country, however, Van Buren faced one setback after another. During his inaugural address, he triumphantly characterized America as a successful nation that the rest of the world should emulate. The enviable prosperity he described would be cruelly short-lived. The financial crisis that struck the nation just after he assumed office in 1837, known as the Panic of 1837, was the worst economic crisis the then relatively young nation had endured. Furthermore, his administration would pay the costs of a prolonged war with the Seminole Indians of Florida during his tenure. He also lost popular support when he decided not to support the annexation of the newly independent and slave-owning state of Texas. In 1840, he failed to be re-elected for a second term when William Henry Harrison secured an overwhelming majority of the votes. When he attempted to secure the Democratic presidential nomination in 1844, Van Buren found that his refusal to support the annexation of Texas had decisively cost him the endorsement of Southern delegations. He still ran for president as a candidate of the newly formed Free Soil Party, but he ultimately failed to win even a single state. He won 10% of the votes. His political career may have ended in defeat, but his life was certainly not a tragedy. After retiring from public life, Van Buren spent a few years living and traveling in Europe. He began to write his lengthy autobiography in Italy. At the age of 71, and in a foreign land, I commence a sketch of the principal events of my life. It was only published much later on, as what is arguably the nation's first presidential memoir, in the 1920s. He eventually returned to his Lindenwald estate in his hometown of Kinderhook to live out the final years of his life. He witnessed the controversial and divisive question of slavery tear the entire nation apart in his final years. At the ripe old age of 79, he passed away. Over a year after the American Civil War, 1861 to 1865, broke out, and Abraham Lincoln was elected as the 16th President of the United States. His wife and cousin, Hannah Van Buren, Nee Van Allen, had died much earlier in 1819. He never remarried. He was